Look at the structure of the book of Ezekiel. Was the temple that the Shekinah glory left from a literal temple in the first part of the book? Hello. Sure it was. So why can't the temple at the end of the book that the Shekinah glory of God returns to be literal? See, and people play this game where they take part of the book literally, the other part of the book non-literally, but a overview like this, a synthetic study of the book, shows you you just can't do that. Or else you're just inconsistent in your interpretation. You're mishandling God's Word. When is this temple going to exist? Well, it doesn't exist today. As much as people try to make it the church, the reality is, if you take this literally, there is no such thing. It can't exist in the eternal state because John saw no what? Temple, Revelation 21, verse 22. So the only place it fits is during the millennial reign of Christ. So that's why we call it temple for the millennial reign of Christ. And you know what? Here's the clincher. There's actually going to be animal sacrifices in the temple. Now, our Reformed brethren almost break out into hives when we say stuff like that, because they cannot fathom the idea that animal sacrifices can come back. Because in their minds, it's an attack on the atonement, which rendered obsolete animal sacrifices. But here's a good response to that. Paul, now is there anybody that talked about the finality of Christ's atonement more than Paul? I don't think so. Paul himself issued an animal sacrifice. Did you know that? In Acts 21, verse 26, so as not to offend the Jews. Paul did an animal sacrifice. So if you're going to use this charge of heresy, because we believe in animal sacrifices in the temple, then you have to charge Paul with heresy. I am very persuaded by the viewpoint of Jerry Hollinger, who wrote some articles in Bibliotheca Sacra, Dallas Seminary's academic journal, where he argues that these animal sacrifices are for ceremonial cleansing, to cleanse the priests. He makes a reference to Hebrews 9, verse 13, and how animal sacrifices were used for that purpose in the Old Testament. And what you have to understand is the millennial kingdom, you still have fallen people. In fact, if you look at Ezekiel 45 and verse 22, it says, on that day the prince shall provide for himself and all the people of the land a bull for sin offering. The priest needs an offering for his sins. So you've got the glory of God present and sinful priests administering these sacrifices. They're going to need some kind of ceremonial cleansing. If you don't like that explanation, then maybe the animal sacrifices are a memorial, looking backward, the same way we take communion. But, you know, we have reasonable answers for these animal sacrifices without allegorizing them out of existence like many people do. And once you leave that section, you go into chapter 47, and guess what? A river flows out of the temple. It flows into the Dead Sea. Now, why do we call the Dead Sea the Dead Sea? Everything in the sea is dead because of the high salt content. So this river goes into the Dead Sea, chapter 47, verses 1 through 12, and the Dead Sea starts teeming with biological life. People say, well, that's not literal. That's just talking about salvation. The sinner goes from death to life. Well, that's not what it says. It says a river is going into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is going to come back to life biologically. In other words, the restoration of the nation is so complete that it even involves her physical restoration as far as the Dead Sea coming back unto life. Now, you can go to Israel today and float in the Dead Sea because of the high salt content. It just buoys you right up. And when we were there, they had lifeguards there. And I thought to myself, what do these lifeguards do? No one can sink. Then I thought, well, in my retirement years, as I look for a cushy job, I might apply for a job out there. not have to just sit out there in the sun and read newspaper all day and look at Facebook or whatever, because no one can drown. So I don't know why they have those lifeguards out there, but anyway. But the lifeguards, the Dead Sea is going to come back to life. It's going to teem with life. And then God is going to chapter 47, verse 13 through chapter 48, verse 29. He's going to divide the land in Israel amongst the 12 tribes. And the dimensions are slightly different than the book of Joshua. So the land is apportioned in the book of Joshua. The same kind of thing is going to happen in Ezekiel 47. That's a picture of it from the Tommy Ice chart book. And here's a picture that I had drawn. And I am so thrilled with how this book ends, chapter 48, verse 35. The city, that's Jerusalem, shall be 18,000 cubits round about. And the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. Isn't that great? The very city that was called an adulteress in chapter 16, the very city that Nebuchadnezzar went and destroyed, is brought back to life in its fullness, and the Lord permanently is there. I can't think of a more fitting conclusion to the book. See, everything at the end of the book is repeated, but the opposite of what happened at the beginning of the book is repeated with words of restoration at the end of the book. So Ezekiel has written this book to comfort, first of all, afflict the comfortable, first part of the book, and then once the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, he concludes with these tremendous prophecies of comforting the afflicted. And that's how the book ends. Well, at least now you have a bird's eye view of it. And now you can go dig out the nuances yourself. So let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the book of Ezekiel. We love happy endings. And we're grateful for your work in history. And we know if you're going to be faithful to Israel, you're going to be faithful to us in the end time. I pray, Father, you'll bring us back. We thank you for a great day. I personally thank you for the energy to get through today. And I pray you'll bring folks back for church tomorrow as we take a look at very important signs of the end time. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen. Amen.